22. A pair of wretches. A voice was calling for him, but Oppie couldn't open his eyes. He wanted to sleep for a fortnight. A dull ache was starting to bother him, along with the voice. He tried to move his lips to call for his mum, but they were frozen. Then he thought he heard his father speaking. "Boy, can you hear me?" The voice was louder now. "Please wake up." Oppie opened his eyelids just a sliver and blinked. He was in a stone cavern, gas lamps blazing full flame all around him. He couldn't move, as he'd been tied down to something. "Boy! Boy!" Oppie slowly turned his head. His neck muscles were stiff and sore. Someone was lying near him, but Oppie's gaze was drawn to a glint right next to his eye. A 3-inch-long bolt jutted out of his shoulder. His pulse quickened, and he let out a little moan, feeling like he might throw up. Had there been anything in his stomach, he surely would have. "It's terrible, isn't it?" Oppie looked over at the man who had spoken and recognized him immediately. Prince Albert. He had been strapped to a narrow table only inches away, and he, too, had a bolt embedded in his shoulder. "We're a fine pair of wretches," the prince whispered. "They have done something appallingly wrong to us. For the love of God, bolts in both our shoulders." Shoulders? Oppie thought. With everything he could muster, he turned his head to see the horrible truth. "Who did this?" he slurred. "Dr. Hyde."
"You're a prince," Oppie said. "Prince Albert, my lord."
"Yes, yes," Prince Albert replied. I need your help. They've been giving me a drink that seems to be affecting my mind. I must escape. Can you move your hand?" Oppie tried.
"A little, my lord."
"Can you reach these straps?" Oppie stretched out his hand, but fell short.
"I'm sorry."
"What is your name, boy?"
"Oppie."
"Don't give up, Oppie. I know it's hard." Oppie wriggled and stretched until he felt a belt. "Yes, that's it. Pull." He was able to lift the tongue of the strap enough to loosen it. "Good work. The Queen will pin a medal on you." This encouragement gave Oppie his second wind, and he loosened another strap. Soon Prince Albert had a hand completely free and was working on the remainder of his straps. Within a minute he was on his feet. He took a hesitant step toward the door.
"What about me?" Oppie asked.
Prince Albert looked back. "Yes, yes." He stumbled over to him. "My loyal subject, I shan't forget you." Just as he unbuckled one of the straps holding up his arms, the door opened, and a man with mutton chops entered, hissing with each step.
"You're awake, Albert. That will not do."
Prince Albert patted Oppie's hand, gave him a conspiratorial wink, and turned to face the man. "Where are my companions?"
"They've been released into the wild."
"Well, Mr. Fur, I demand, in the name of Queen Victoria, that you release me and my acquaintance here at once." Fur's laugh made Oppie's stomach turn. He yanked desperately on the remaining straps that held him down.
"You are not allowed to leave yet," said Fur as he stepped nearer.
The prince swung feebly, and Fur caught his hand mid-swing and squeezed. There was an audible crack, and the prince dropped to his knees.
"Release me,"
he exclaimed in agony.
"I'll ask the authorities to be as lenient as possible with you."
Fur lifted him up with one hand and set him on the table. The prince grimaced, holding his arm.
"Don't you move either, boy,"
Fur said, glaring menacingly over at Oppie,
"or I'll pluck both your arms off."
Oppie stared wide-eyed. The doctor entered, holding calipers and two flasks, while peering through a thick monocle that magnified his eye.
"Oh, wakefulness in both of you. I must adjust the amount of chloroform," he said, shaking his head.
"What have you done to us?"
the prince demanded.
"It's abominable."
"Tut, tut. You do not understand. You'll soon be the heart of a giant.
Are you insane? I won't drink that loathsome liquid again.
You will,
Fur said, seizing a flask and squeezing the prince's wrist until he gasped with pain and drank it, a little of the potion burbling down his chin. Prince Albert shook slightly, and his eyes glazed over. The doctor turned to Oppy with the second flask.
Ah, young master, you shall drink your share too. But because you are not yet fully grown, the potion shall change both your body and mind. Don't look so afraid. As I recall, you liked my little sparrow. Well, you will become just like that sparrow, except you will be a little god who never tires, and all the little gods and the little prince will become one god. Do you see? It's so simple.
The words were gibberish to Oppy. Seeing he had no choice, he drank the liquid without a fight. It prickled his throat going down, yet it had a sweet aftertaste. Soon he felt himself floating as though on a mound of cotton. In a short while he fell asleep. Sometime later he awoke, throbbing everywhere. Try as he might, he could not move as much as his little toe.
Sit up, a woman said sweetly.
His body responded automatically.
Look at me,
she said, and he turned, first seeing that the prince was gone, then laid eyes on the red-haired woman who sat on a stool next to him. She offered a flask.
Drink this.
He didn't want to reach for it, but his hand did anyway, and a moment later the liquid was hot in his throat. He trembled, and tears formed. He writhed madly, all the while catching glimpses of his body. His muscles were beginning to bulge. His skin produced mottled, hairy patches. A controlled anger grew in his heart, making him stronger. When he had stopped convulsing, the woman said,
Finally, you are the last one. We've saved a good compartment for you, near the heart. Follow me.
He jumped off the table, unable to resist her instructions, and followed her into a larger room. As he passed the desk, he noticed a clockwork sparrow among the papers. Its eyes seemed to mock him.